Is the guy wearing a spa?
Sorry, sensitive images, but in reality, it's absolutely heartbreaking.
I'm just asking the most powerful leaders in the world, secular, worldly leaders and religious so-called leaders, even if you don't understand about karma, even if you read the Bibles and the sutras with your ears, your eyes closed, pretending you didn't see this part of compassionate living, pretending you don't know karma exists. But you must know, if you have been treated the way you treat others, how would you feel? How would you feel if you are a harmless, helpless baby in the womb and being torn into pieces by abortion medicine, or dug out piece by piece by medical instruments, or having agonizing pain because of killing pills, abortion pills? How would you feel? Wouldn't you feel terrified and pain? I cannot describe it. You know it. Just put yourself in the fetus, the baby's position. Then you know it.
A woman in the United Kingdom has filed a lawsuit asking that abortion businesses be required to inform women their preborn babies are capable of feeling pain while being aborted. The woman, Anna Marie Tudor, says if she had known her unborn baby she aborted at 23 weeks could feel pain, she would not have chosen abortion. Tudor says because she was not given this information on fetal pain, she claims she was incapable of giving her fully informed consent for abortion.
You know, the truth is that these little babies still in the womb do feel pain at a very early age. And it also emphasizes that, you know, these are little human beings. They do experience pain in the womb, and we need to realize that. And we need to think again about how this humanizes even more what previously had been characterized as a clump of tissue. Obviously, these young human beings, the science backs up what we know in our heart. They do feel pain.
Absolutely.
People can realize the real facts about these developing human beings, that they feel pain, that their heart is beating and pumping blood throughout their bodies, that they are living beings. And it's incumbent on us to get this truth out there, that these young human beings deserve respect and human dignity.
The abortionist takes a suction catheter and is inserted through the cervix into the uterus. The suction machine is then turned on with a force 10 to 20 times more powerful than your household vacuum cleaner. The baby is rapidly torn apart by the force of the suction and squeezed through this tubing down into the suction machine, followed by the placenta. Though the uterus is mostly emptied at this point, one of the risks of a suction DNC is incomplete abortion. Essentially, pieces of the baby or placenta left behind. This can lead to infection or bleeding. In an attempt to prevent this, the abortionist uses a curette to scrape a lining of the uterus. A curette is basically a long-handled curved blade.
Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks, but she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, you introduce a suction catheter into the uterus. This is a 14 French suction catheter. If she were 12 weeks pregnant or less, basically the width of your hand or smaller, you could basically do the entire procedure with this. But babies this big don't fit through catheters this size. After suctioning the amniotic fluid out from around the baby, you introduce an instrument called a Sofer clamp. It's about 13 inches long. It's made of stainless steel. The business end of this clamp is about 2.5 inches long and 1/2 inch wide. There are rows of sharp teeth. This is a grasping instrument. When it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A D&E procedure is a blind abortion, so picture yourself introducing this and grabbing anything you can blindly and pull, and I do mean hard, and out pops a leg about that big, which you put down on the table next to you. Reach in again, pull out an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you, and use this instrument again and again to tear out the spine, the intestines, the heart and lungs. Head on the baby that size is about the size of a large plum. Can't see it, but you pretty good idea you've got it if you've got your instrument around something and your fingers are spread about as far as they go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the instrument and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you could pull out skull pieces. And you have a day like I had a lot of times, sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you.
Late-term abortions sometimes resulted in babies being aborted alive, and if they were aborted alive, they were allowed to die without any medical intervention whatsoever. The procedure is called induced labor abortion. To commit this method of abortion, the doctor inserts a medication into the mom's birth canal up to the cervix. And the cervix is the opening of the uterus, and doctors who are committing this method of abortion are aborting babies who are small, fully formed though. So this medication that they give the mom forces the cervix to open up, and so in essence the baby just falls out of the uterus. And that's how it comes to be that sometimes they're aborted alive.
Saline infusion abortion involves injecting a toxic salt solution into the amniotic fluid surrounding the preborn child. The intent of that toxic salt solution is to scald the child to death from the outside in. For days, I soaked in that toxic salt solution, and on the fifth day of the procedure, my biological mother, who was a 19-year-old college student, delivered me after her labor was induced. My life was intended to be ended by that abortion.
This method of abortion burns the baby inside and out, blinding and suffocating the child, who is then born dead, usually within 24 hours, and there should be a photo. Yes. This is what I survived. Instead of dying, after 18 hours of being burned in my mother's womb, I was delivered alive in an abortion clinic in Los Angeles on April the 6th, 1977. The abortionist was not at work yet. Had he been there, he would have ended my life with strangulation, suffocation, or leaving me there to die. Instead, a nurse called an ambulance, and I was rushed to a hospital. Doctors did not expect me to live. I did.
If a woman takes these abortion pills, it's going to be very intentional. It's going to kill the child, and it's going to induce the death of this child.
And if you are shot by guns, the bullets pierce you everywhere and you die without anything to help you, and then you go straight to hell, how would you feel? How would you feel? And all the religious people, holy this and reverend that, people worship you, people trust that you know God more than they do. If you're holier than them. And daily, you quietly support this kind of murder. A young human being has no chance to even see the sun and has to be murdered in such a wicked, utmost cruel way like that. You support it by being silent. You support it even by saying that you should forgive these abortion acts. Forgive them. so they can continue to go to the church, give you more money, and make your church crowded so that you feel proud. And then they can do it again because it's so easy to be forgiven. Just go to you, confess it, give some money, and the sin is done, bought.
With the signing of this letter, Pope Francis has allowed all priests to absolve the faithful of the, quote, grave sin of abortion.
In a letter from the Vatican, Pope Francis is giving priests the approval to forgive abortions, so long as women confess and seek forgiveness in this upcoming Jubilee year.
Porto tecnicamente è un'espressione che coinvolge tutte le persone che sono coinvolte nell'aborto. Quindi, dalla donna, dall'infermiere, dal medico, da chi sostiene questa indicazione. Quindi il peccato di aborto è globale e quindi il perdono dal peccato di aborto è ugualmente onnicomprensivo, tocca tutti coloro che sono attori di questo peccato.
It's got kind of a bribery. Being is having a kind of a blackmailing system, huh? Are you worshipping God, glorifying heaven, or are you blackening God's name or darkening the glory of heaven? Ask yourself, what should you do? The leaders of the world and the leaders of the religions, you have done something wonderful in your past life or lives. So nowadays you have been reaping the reward, being on top of the human world. People worship you, people respect you, people support you, elected you, trust you in the highest possible position in this world. You should continue to do more virtuous deeds, preach more holy doctrine, bring people closer to God, and earn much and much more merit than any physical position, any physical reward could give you. You would be held in higher and higher esteem by the world, and you would bring people more and more toward God to do more good things for everyone on this planet, following your example. Otherwise, we will continue to support war every day, with some breaking out into adults' war, humans' war. Not just humans, adults together, but humans against little babies in the womb, against little sheep, or baby cows, and little fish in the sea. Little wild monkeys in the forest.
Supreme Master Ching Hai, vegan, is a world-renowned spiritual teacher, humanitarian, and artist. To learn more about her compassionate life and teachings, please visit suprememastertv.com/master.